Starting today, Americans are getting fewer food stamps. We'll talk with one of those Americans.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune in to Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. One in seven Americans, that's 47 million people, receives food stamps. And starting today, there will be less. A stimulus bill that had added federal money to what's called the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, back in 2009 has run its course, and Congress decided not to put the money back. For a family of five with no other income, this could cut food stamps by $43 a month. For low-income people who are working, the cut would be less, but it will still bite.
Marcus Jr. is 9 years old, Mariana is six, and Marquise is six.
Besides her kids, Tiana Gaines Turner in Philadelphia has a husband. Beyond a day job, she also helps advocate for low-income people with the project Witnesses to Hunger. A while back, her family was getting more than $700 a month in food stamps. Recently, it's down below $200 a month, and the cut today will drop it further. She hasn't received the new calculation for her family yet, but a 5 or 6% cut would be a decent guess.
I will have to clip more coupons, do more manager specials at the supermarket, make bigger pots of food so that I can stretch out a little longer than before. And, you know, just basically try to cut as many corners as I can when it comes to buying food and things like that. I have to cut back on snacks and things like that for my children.
And I understand, Tiana, that they have special dietary needs.
All of my children have epilepsy and asthma. So my two twins take life-sustaining seizure medication twice a day, and all three of them take asthma medication twice a day as well. So I have to be very careful on the type of foods that I buy, you know, for my children, because some of the things that's in the food, such as aspartame and sodium nitrate that's in hot dogs, can make them sick.
So you already have to shop carefully. Now, what other sources of income do you have?
My husband works at a local grocery store, and I work at a rec center where I take care of children and make sure nobody vandalizes the rec center. So we basically will now have to spend money out of pocket to absorb the cut that we're getting ready to, you know, take. So basically that will be taken away from something else. So I think it's very important for listeners to understand. It might sound like a small number to someone who's not receiving SNAP. For me and our community, it's a big chunk.
So it's going to be a lean end of the year for the family, right?
It's going to definitely be a lean end of the year. You know, when November starts in December, a lot of people like to think about Thanksgiving and, you know, that we're supposed to be thankful and grateful. And don't get me wrong, a lot of people who live in poverty who are even getting a cut, we are still grateful for the opportunity to have SNAP benefits. But, you know, when you're sitting around your table and you'll be cutting your turkey and you'll be eating your stuffing, there'll be a family somewhere who won't have those same things that you will have. There will be a child that will be going to sleep hungry. There will be a senior citizen somewhere. So, you know, I know Obamacare is the number one talk right now across media, but we also have to pay attention to the other things that are going on that would affect people who work every day.
Tiana Gaines Turner in Philadelphia, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're asking people to tell us what they would take from their core grocery budget if they had to cut around 5%. Tweet us at Marketplace APM with what you would cut.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to FreakonomicsRadio.com.
Daddy, tell me the story of how when you were little, they didn't let you play video games on takeoff and landing on an airplane. The Federal Aviation Administration has just announced that we will be able to use personal electronic devices all the way through our plane trips. That is the plan. In reality, at least on most airlines, it's going to take a little while. Dan Weissman has the story.
Airlines will have to prove to the FAA that their planes can stand up to the challenge of passengers reading e-books and playing Angry Birds during takeoff. Delta and JetBlue said yesterday they'd submitted plans to the FAA, and American hopes to get theirs in today. We asked FAA Administrator Michael Huerta how long till they get the green light.
It really depends on how complete the plan is.
By year's end was as specific as he'd get. So what happens when people show up today or tomorrow expecting to play Words with Friends from gate to gate? Are we going to be seeing a lot of Alec Baldwin situations? Probably not. Andrew Thomas wrote the book on air rage. His title? Air Rage. He says most of us are ready to act like sheep.
And, you know, you're just told to sit there and shut up and listen to orders, whether you like it or not. You just got to sit there and take it.
The big exceptions, the mentally ill, the intoxicated, CEOs and celebrities, folks who think the rules don't apply to them.
You know, when a flight attendant who's making not much more than minimum wage tells them that they got to do something, they're not able to deal with it very well.
The rest of us will wait our turn, or pretend to. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
And when a J.P. Morgan trader placed bets in the market that lost the biggest of banks $6 billion, the trader was dubbed the London Whale. Now, the London Minnow. Credit Suisse has reportedly dismissed a trader in London whose trades lost the bank $6 million, with a M. The trades were somehow strange and had attracted the attention of British regulators. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.